It doesn't come from food. It comes from the chemicals that they add. So he tells how he himself smells a little bit of that when it comes. So that's what we're being fed with. This is what we're being fed. Sadly, it is so. So we're facing a big problem with food, and this is why I think that this will change. Because we've reached such a great imbalance with nature in general, with our attitude towards the entire integral nature, that we'll have a big problem with food in general in the world, not just in the underdeveloped countries, the third world, but also in the developed countries. And then we'll have to do something about it. Because food is the main and most central problem a person can have. To the extent that all the other systems fail, the banks, the insurance companies, industry, the car industry, all the luxuries industries because of the crisis, all the different sources of income for those who especially want to become rich, their relation to food will be more and more egoistic. They'll play with food in order to take most of their profits out of it. And therefore, I'm seeing ahead that we will have a lot of problems with food. And those who like to make profit and to make a lot of profit, they will transfer their control to this field from the other types of industry, and they'll play with us through the provisions of food and types of food, because this is such a necessary thing. We can reduce our intake and usage of all the other things around us, but food is something so principal, so necessary. And I think that even if there will be no lack of food, these people will play all kinds of games in order to take as much profit out of it. And it's all very saddening, but I think this is where we're heading. This is what I think will happen in the near future. And the opposite, because nature is pushing us this way, all this bad that is happening with our necessary needs, food, sex, money, control, and knowledge, our six needs, where food and sex or family are the most basic needs. But if we reach a problem, a crisis in these areas, then by that I will see that we've reached the end of our development, of our egoistic development, and where we must give an answer about where we've reached. And I hope that from there onwards, humanity will begin not to agree with the fact that it's being led with these two reins, the carrot and the stick, that on the one hand, there's the problem of keeping the masses calm, where on the one hand you lack food, and on the other hand they'll give a little food, and again there will be a lack, and again they'll give a little bit, and in this way they'll want to run the masses, entire nations. because it happened in history this way many times. But because the world has become integral, where we're all interconnected and interdependent, not in a linear system like we were before, but here I think that they will not be able to continue and succeed, and the world will have to find a new method, which it will find specifically in the integral education. I wanted to ask about something that you discussed before, the difference between feeding someone and nourishing someone. There are states where you eat and you feel that whoever made you this food made it with all of his heart, and you feel his heart in the food. It can be the most simple thing in the world. I'll tell you where it is seen, and people see it clearly. There are restaurants where you sit and wait, and you see how they prepare the food. And the person who is preparing it, you see how he makes it, and he smiles to you, and so on. This is no coincidence. You've seen such places, right? Yeah, but actually, I'm not really talking about restaurants so much, because in a restaurant, I'm a stranger. Yeah, but still, he wants to give you, to show you his, the way he treats you. Right, but I'm not talking about these situations. I'm talking about the situations where you know the person. It can be in a family. It can be with friends. It can be people you know. And sometimes you feel that this food that you've just eaten, he made it with love, with concern and sensitivity. And the question is, how is it possible? And sometimes you don't feel it. I want to know. Let's say this is the plate and I'm eating even the same dish. Once you feel his heart and love inside, and the ones you don't. Where is it? It's the same ingredient. So where is this special ingredient to be found? Because a man does not live on bread alone. He's not nourished from the bread alone. Take a baby. Put him in an orphanage. Give him everything except for a mother's warmth, and you see how they grow up, how much they need it, how much they lack it. We can't replace it. Well, of course you can, but where do you find it? Where do you find it in the food? Where is it in the food exactly? It's in the air. It's an emotion. So this emotion is on the schnitzel. Who made the schnitzel? You feel through the schnitzel that it was made with love or wasn't made with love. Well, how? That's what I'm asking. How? You don't know how, because it's given through the other vibrations, other waves that aren't in the calories that are in the food. Even though I think that in this way you're nourished and also receive extra calories, we can maybe check that. So where are these vibrations? In the air. We live in a world that has a lot more of higher quality and complexity than we feel in our five senses. But until I eat the schnitzel, I don't feel the vibrations. We started the talk by me saying that a person is made of two parts, the animal level and the speaking level, the human level. So on the animal level, you eat the schnitzel. And on the speaking human level, you drink the schnitzel. You drink the approach, the way you are treated. And this is not given through the meat. The meat is only the topic, the subject around which it happens. It's the aura, it's the force, the power that's around this piece of meat that you receive, around this dish that you receive and eat. You feel that it comes from love. Play a game with your wife and tell her to once give you a dish that she made with a lot of love, and once a dish that she just didn't put any effort into, just said, go ahead, eat it. Will it be the same? Of course there will be a difference. Okay, so what's the question? is there an importance really? And on the other hand, do that with a dog or a cat. You walk in the street and take a small fish out of a bag and throw it disrespectfully at the cat on the street. So what? You think the cat won't take it? You think the cat will look at you with some emotion? He'll take it either way because he has only one level, the animal level. If you inject the cat with some pride, jealousy, pride, honor, that just like a person has, and you'll see the way he behaves. It behaves. It will toss the fish back at you. It won't accept it. It won't receive it because you've hurt it on a higher level than the level of the food, on the level of its pride. By that, you cancel the human in him. A cat in the boots. I'll ask something more. Let's say that in both cases, I serve the food in the same way, but in one case, I cooked it with a very good intention and desire. Even if you're sick or healthy, you can feel it in the food. That's right. Even if I serve the same thing, there's a difference. Yes, of course. Okay, now let's look at it from the opposite direction. Let's say I sit and eat, and I brought this food. Is it possible for me to manipulate things on my part? Whatever they did, I did. Now it's here. Of course you can. Of course you can maximize it. Start working on it. It depends on you. Tell me what to do. I received it from my dear wife. Why are you laughing? I'm writing it down, Oren says. Well, she was tired after work, and she took care of the kids, and she prepared what's right, what they like, and also prepared what I like. She knows what I like. How did she know that this is exactly what I want today? Because let's say there are 10 different things that I like, and she knew specifically what I would like to eat today. And how did she do it? And she made time for it in her schedule, and she put all her attention into it. If you say that to her, you'll see how happy she is. This is before I start eating? Before you start eating? Or what, to argue? No, I'm seriously asking you. Should I tell that to myself? This is the preparation for the food, and during your eating, start saying something special. Even half a sentence, you'll see what you do to her. What exactly do I need to say? I need to identify her efforts. We talked about it, that food is part of the human culture, what we've created, with melodies, special music, and smells, perfumes, and let's say with raising the glass with your left hand and all kinds of such things, women, men, the way we invite guests into the home. First we have some dessert. We have dessert. Maybe first we have some starter. There are lots of things. I've been to such places that you can go crazy from what people were doing with food. You get tired from it. But look at how humanity has developed to the smallest details, all of these things. So around food, you can give. Where does it come from? You can give one to the other. Emotion, status, the way your attitudes towards them, to show him something, to hint something. There are lots of things in it. Why is it in food specifically? Because it's something that connects people. Food? What else do you connect through? Today people connect through playing some games together, tennis maybe, or golf. Or just going on hikes together. In the morning, the president goes on a walk with somebody, with his guest. They don't wear a tie anymore. They just go on a walk together. But it used to be riding horses. Where people would go on a horse ride and talk. But the easiest and most accepted habit is to connect around the table, of course. If you're invited, even to just talk about something, then you're given some tea, some coffee. It's customary. This is called connection. This is a type of connection. So the connection is what determines if it's tasty for me, of course, and also if it's healthier for me. Tasty, I can understand, but also healthier? Well, healthy, that's a question, but I would say that yes. If it's made with all the heart, then it won't be harmful to the body because it's on a higher level than food on the animal level. It's on the human level. It will repress everything. We see this in very special cases in which a person can even eat poison and nothing will happen to him. It depends on how he receives it. He can repress even physically, the intake of poisonous food or food that's gone bad. That's interesting. I'll tell you why. Because I, for example, I'm a Yemenite. Now, a few years ago, I had non-stop headaches. I couldn't go through a work day. I went through all types of treatments and nothing helped. And at the end, finally, one of the therapists said, "Let's change your nutrition." And I saw that there was some feedback from the body. For 2 weeks, he told me not to eat anything, just like a baby. All I ate was mashed vegetables and fruit. And I saw that there was some feedback. And then I began to appreciate the whole matter of nutrition. And I went to a nutritionist. And since then, I have all kinds of experiences with nutrition. And all the time, inside, there's something that's not clear to me. I'm telling myself, I'm a Yemenite. I look at the food. I need the food to be happy. I need my plate to be happy. Because when I look at my plate, either I'm instantaneously angry or I'm pleased. Now they tell me, it's not healthy for you to eat spicy food. And what do you mean spicy is not healthy? You don't even feel that it's spicy. Yeah, spicy is like salty for me. It's like they say that I can't have salt in my food. Well, she's probably European. I don't remember what she was, but she told me spicy wasn't healthy for you. And my grandpa, he lived to 95 years of age, and he'd eat Yemenite soup his entire life. Now, give me some Yemenite soup with khilbe, with a pita bread. My grandma used to make this pita, and then they told me that the white bread isn't healthy for you. But that's all Yemenites eat. And you told me that a person needs to feel what's good for him. And I feel very well how food influences me. Either it makes me very, very cranky, or it calms me and gives me energies to continue my day. And today I feel... Why don't you go back to your basic food, your natural food, the type that you got used to next to your grandpa? But they told me that spicy is not, that's not good, and the fatty foods aren't good. Why? I had periods in my life in which I felt that I can't go on without food and without meat. And now for a few years, I feel that I can't have meat at all. I suddenly stopped. I don't feel that I need it. I had all kinds of periods in life with other things as well, but it's what I felt according to my body. I don't know why I felt this way. I didn't try and investigate myself. I have other things to do. But I felt according to my body. I didn't ask anyone. Never in my life did I believe all those dietitians? How do they know the nature of a person? Food is such a basic and complex thing, according to 1,000 methods. If you come to my house, you see that I have 4 kids. We're 6 people at home. I don't know how to count the types of food of bread that we have at home. There's so many types of bread. One of my kids eats this type, the other one eats that type, and that other one eats that type. And then the dietitian or therapist told one of my kids to eat something else. If I have dinner with my kids, I don't know who eats what. That's the new craze. It's like the threshold of sensitivity has gone up, Nitsa says. And do you know how much it costs? I'm not even talking about that. I know that when my son was in boarding school, but it's been a few generations since then. My kid does, if he doesn't feel good, if there's something wrong with his health, and you try with all kinds of methods, and then they tell you this is why he feels that way, so you shouldn't eat that, and then he becomes sad, and then he becomes even weaker, and then and it's a circle. Well, I have nothing to say. There's a kind of feeling that we used to be able to digest everything, and now it's very hard for us to digest things that it used to be part of our nature. What do you mean? We grew up in it. We need to go back down to basic foods, only basic food. That's it. Meat, milk, cheeses, also be careful because they're made in all kinds of ways. In short, the basic things that grandma used to use, not even your mother, your grandma, and start with that. I don't think that these things can harm you for sure, because according to that, we are built, our body is built, and that's it. I wouldn't listen to anyone. I'm telling you, including diabetes and blood pressure and all kinds of things, take off everything that you eat to the normal portions and then dosages, and then you won't have a problem. Do that to begin with. And then afterwards, also take off if you have maybe an inclination to diabetes, then take off some of the sugars and proteins. Then, first of all, make it a normal level of basic food. I have another question. You said before about these two levels, that we have the physical level and the level of the relations between us. Today, in our modern lives, where there's both parents are working, it's hard to get along without prepared food. My grandma, may she rest in peace, she would make jakhnun for a week. She made it on Saturday, and she'd made it for a whole week. She started on Sunday. On one day, she would work with the dough, and the next day she'd do something else with it. There was an order. The entire week, she'd go through this process of making the jakhnun. And the jakhnun that she made does not exist in reality today. I believe you. So today, you go to the supermarket and buy some other kind of jakhnun, and we can't live the way she did today. This is what she did in her life. She raised her 12 kids and made the jakhnun. But we can't live this way today, so you can't live without prepared food. So can we today? Through our attitude, say, of a mother who makes the food for her kids, for the people at home, can we neutralize the bad elements that people make in the food industry in order to allow me to go to the supermarket and buy something? No. Why not? You said before that it's possible. No, it's not to that extent. If you purchase half the food that is already prepared, you can't neutralize it through good attitude. You can add, maybe, if you want a piece of jakhnun and eat it on Saturday once a week, you can eat it. I'm not saying you can't, and then it won't harm you. Okay. But not it's not that through our good attitudes we can neutralize poisonous foods. It's not possible. Okay, so let's go forward a bit. The development of the world has brought us to state today that technologies and our way of lives mean that people can't live in the country and grow their own tomatoes. Okay, so you buy them and you make your salad. Okay, let's not take vegetables. Let's take apples. I live in the country and I have an apple tree in my garden. When I first ate an apple that I ate in the supermarket, I said it's a completely different fruit. I don't know this fruit. It's a completely different taste because when I lived in the country, I had completely different fruits. And even to this day, when I eat fruits from the supermarket, I can't eat them. But not all the people live in the country, and we can't have them put them back in the country. So where is it heading with all this industrialization? And it's brought us to a state that that's what we have. That we can maybe improve the food a little bit. Maybe we can neutralize all the business from this industry, and maybe everything will be okay. But still, it won't be like it was when everything was natural. If society will neutralize all of this business, it will still develop onwards all kinds of types of fruits and vegetables that will not be ruined, spoiled very quickly. And it will need to continue the industry because you can't feed 7 billion people by picking every day and supplying them every day with a daily fruit and vegetable portion, but you'll clean your supermarkets from 90% of the foods that are not needed. We don't need 20 types of cheeses or 20 types of tomatoes. It's enough for us to have two or three. Maybe one likes their tomatoes half green and the other half red. So how do you overcome the gap from between what you'll have and what you used to have in your garden? No, we can't go back there. So what will we have? It won't be as exaggerated as it is today. But still, I think that these additions, these additives, but not that much, not to such an extent. I'll tell you why. Because 90% of the people are leaving the industry of all types, industries of all types. We're now entering a world which will only employ the number of people that are creating, manufacturing the most necessary things in industry, in agriculture, and everything. This crisis is bringing us to a state in which you'll have, let's say, 100% of the people who are working today, only 70% of them. 70% of them will not be employed. How will this influence our nutrition? It will influence our nutrition because the percentage of people who are working will do more natural agriculture and will supply food, not like today where you supply a tomato and then you sell it in a month from the date of supply, which is unnatural. And then what do you even have in this tomato? Only rubber. So we will decrease or go down a little bit from the extent of things as they are today. But we see that we've achieved quite a lot thanks to genetic engineering and chemistry and the use of chemicals in agriculture. We'll continue to use it until the world has become so balanced that people will be able to enjoy nature naturally, that nature will not be spoiled because man will not be spoiled. Oren says, I didn't understand. If man will not be spoiled, what do you mean spoiled? With his ego, with his attitude towards others, then why should a tomato be spoiled? It also will not be ruined. What is it there for, in order for a person to enjoy it? Yeah. So also on the vegetative level, everything will be organized and balanced, so there won't be any malfunctions. If there will be good relationships between people, yes, it will influence all the other levels of the animals and the vegetables and plants, and then nothing will be malfunctioned or spoiled, and we'll be able to organize our lives with such harmony that we'll feel how it's better to use nature in the necessary way, not in the way we use it now with all the excesses, but in the necessary way, in order to feed ourselves, just like with the animals that don't go overboard with food. And we'll use all of the rest of our energies not to diet or to cure all kinds of illnesses and to invent all kinds of types of foods. We'll use all of our strength to developing the human in us. And then in such a way, when we reach such balance with all of nature, then we won't see malfunctions on all the other levels, the lower levels that are beneath the human level, just like the books of the Kabbalah say that if a person corrects himself, then all the other levels of the animal, vegetative, and still levels will also be corrected, because they are supported. They're only support for men. Well, our time is up. It was very interesting. Thank you, Rob Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. But maybe just a sentence to summarize. The problem is with us and the balance between us, and therefore, when we reach the love of others, then also the tomatoes will change. It will be tasty and healthy. Thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, all the best and goodbye.